I'm Wendell. I'm, are we podcasting this? You got it set up? Okay, good. Last week we forgot to podcast, but we had to go back and do something different. I'm Wendell. I'm learning what it means to be loved by God and what that life looks like. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control issues. And I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and rage and panic and depression. I used to be an absolute and total Scrooge at Christmas. And my wife would say amen to that. And my sister would say amen to that. I'm not that way so much anymore. I really, for several reasons, really have changed quite a bit. But I'm not stupid. I may not be a Scrooge anymore, but I'm not stupid. And I know that Christmas time, Thanksgiving is kind of the precursor to it. It's the first verse of the song. But Christmas time can be really rough because you're getting together with extended family that you don't often see. And there can be a truckload of dynamics that are not happy and healthy. In fact, they could be very toxic and very damaging. And so for the next three Sunday nights, by the way, Larry's going to announce this, but we just keep reminding you, no pathway Christmas Eve. 24th, no pathway. Just keep saying it. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to just kind of be talking about family dynamics. And this is going to make for a choppy podcast probably because the microphones can't pick you up. But at various times in the next 3 weeks, I'm just going to stop and say, what do y'all think? And see if you've got some input on this, because we've had these before where we just talk back and forth and they're really rich, because all I'm doing is kind of, it's just a conversation starter to get us to, talking about this. So tonight we want to talk about on your computer when it messes up. If I'm not a computer expert at all, but from what I understand, what it messes up, what mine does, is it like will go back to a default setting. It'll revert back to what it was set up to do, a default setting. It with family time, with our extended family or our family of origin, whatever you want to call that. It's interesting how much we go back to a default setting. We do it emotionally. We do it in the way we relate to each other. We do it in terms of expectations. We do it in so many ways. It's like our insides just, somebody flips a switch and boom, we revert back to our default setting. So it's interesting. Let's just talk about this for a minute. Family roles and I'm not talking about crescent roles. Or sweet roles or anything like that. I'm talking about roles as in the role you play. Family roles are kind of set and they never change. If you're in your 50s or 60s and you go back to a family gathering, the boss of the family who was boss when you were 10 years old is still the boss of the family. Even if you run your own corporation, even if you're a CEO of some big conglomerate, you go back home and the one who was boss when you were a kid is still boss. I mean, that's just, really? But that's the way it goes, you know? Doesn't matter how much education, how much experience you have. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter you raised your own family and everything. When you get back in that mix, the boss is still boss. They like to micromanage. Help me with my list here. They like to micromanage. They like to schedule everything. Mm-hmm. They usually have the loudest voice in the room. They know it all. And they remember it all. They might tend to be a hoverer. Is that a word? A hoverer? Yeah. That goes around, looks over everybody's shoulder, and makes sure everything's going right. Help me out. What else is in the list? The family boss. What does the family boss do? Control. 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 Sets what? You say sets the agenda? Yeah. So, true?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, don't say it. But if you had to, who's the family boss in your family? Don't say it. But can you name the family boss? Can we name the family boss? Okay. See? My sister and I immediately know who it is. Who would be the family boss in our family if we all got back together? No, it's not her. And it's not me. No. No. We're the family geniuses in our family. Oh. The who? Yeah, the humble family genius. And we've really worked on that to become humble. Yeah. So in your family of origin, there's a boss, and a lot of families have an isolator. I really don't want to be involved. That would be me. I would volunteer for that position. And her, well, Casey raised his hand. And the isolator kind of sits in the corner, you know, or they're all on their smartphone, or they're reading a book, or they're playing with a pet, or they're preoccupied with the kids, or they're always volunteering for errands. Oh, you need that? I'll go get it. Because it takes you out away, you know, from the family. Any little something needs to be done in the back room, or, you know, you need me to take your dog out to you know, use the bathroom. I'll take your dog out. I'll, you know, what needs to be done. So the isolator plays the role of just, I don't want any part of the conflict. I don't want to be part, you know, so I'm going to figure out some way to remove myself a few feet from it. Then you have the rebel, or you could call them a confronter or a troublemaker or a button pusher, that they know how to incite a riot in the family. What else would you add to that? What would you call that? It may not be a button, a rebel. What would it?
Scapegoat.
Oh, okay. A scapegoat. Okay.
Instigator.
Instigator. Yeah. Okay.
A negative.
Do what? Greg would just call him an ass. So, okay. Let's just get that out there. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would be a jackass. Yeah. That's an ass. That's a jackass. So, there you go. So you got this person that plays this role. And then you've got, a lot of times you've got a peacemaker. Is that true? You got a peacemaker who is like you didn't really know what she was trying to say. This is what she was trying to say. Or it's like you just have to understand him. He didn't really mean that. You know, they're always trying to justify what everybody does and says. Let me explain that to you. You read that wrong. Or they're the counselor who runs around and says, let's go out and talk. You know, don't you need to take a smoke? Let's go out on the back deck and let's talk about this. You know, we need to get this out. Or they're just the plain old fixer. Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to tell them right back, this is what you need to, you know. So you're hovering, trying to fix. Or sometimes a peacemaker will be this ludicrous form of a side taker. When he's with one person, he's, oh, they were so wrong when they did that. And 2 seconds later, he's off in the other room with the other person. I can't believe that they treated you that way, you know. And so they're running around taking sides, but they're taking everybody's side because they just want everybody to be happy and everybody to feel justified and everybody to feel good. So these are a lot of the roles. Did I leave some out? Are there other roles that you would stick on this list? Yes. Yes. Everybody hear her? The person, yeah. And it's almost a way of getting attention. It's my identity. Y'all have planned this and really do it, but you forgot that part. Do what? It's kind of a victim mentality of, you know, well, obviously you weren't thinking of me when you made that, those creamed onions, you know. You know I don't like creamed onions, you know, or just, you know, it can go. So, yeah, I forgot that but the victim, the downer, I'll poo-poo any idea you come up with, I'm going to poo-poo it. This just isn't working for me, you know. Everything's good, bluebird skies, yeah. 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 That was setting group, Greg. If you said that loud enough, my sister heard it. She would know exactly who were. Say it again.
Oh.
No. So, no, that's true. She won't listen to this podcast. So, okay, so we kind of got that part, that when you get back with your family of origin, there's just certain roles that you fall into. And you may not hardly ever play that role in real life, but when you go back home, that's kind of what you do. So, this is the next thing that we can kind of enter into. So when you're in your car headed toward that destination, you and your spouse are talking about, do you ever go to a family gathering, an extended family gathering, and not talk about it on the way? I mean, that's all we ever talk about. Is this is, and here's the conversation. This is my point number two. We arrive at these family gatherings with preloaded expectations and assumptions. Oh, there you see, you even have figured out a way to parlay it into some cash. That's awesome. Well, here's some of the things we assume. Now, see if you can come up with a bigger list. We assume that the pecking order will have not changed. I don't care how human we are and how sophisticated we think we are, humans develop pecking orders, especially among siblings. And I don't care how sophisticated you think you are, this almost always happens. And so you assume that the pecking order will be the same. And so if you have not played that role, there's a lot of emotional friction because you say, I don't naturally fit in that position anymore, in the pecking order. Where I live my real life, that is not where I fall in the pecking order. And so I'm going to have to figure out what to do. I'm either going to have to force myself back into that position, or I'm going to have to reinvent myself and enforce that reinvented version of myself back in that position. How's that going to work? Because they're not expecting that. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to get it. So that's some of the expectation that really starts the friction on your way to that, you know, your destination. If it's like a 3 hours away, man, you got a lot of time to think. If it's just like a 20-minute drive, it's just a quick conversation and, you know, and then you turn around and go back home. No, we don't really want to go there. So we expect the same arrangement of people, pecking order, whatever you want to call it, but we also expect each individual will be the same. Isn't that funny? In your family, you rarely expect any of your siblings to have grown or developed past what they were as children. Now, if you get with them enough, you realize, oh, they have changed. They have grown. They have matured, you know. But if it's just a rare thing, you assume they're going to be at the same level of moral and emotional and spiritual development that they were at when you all were growing up. How's that going to work? Because you're going thinking, I'm not the same person I was. I don't know how I'm going to fit in. Well, maybe they're thinking the same thing, you know. And so you're going expecting them to be the way they always were, and they're saying, I'm not the way I always was. So that can make things interesting, if not complicating. And, well, okay, I had to read my notes more closely. Sometimes, this is what I do, and Larry gave me this word a long time ago. I tend to catastrophize it. I tend to catastrophize. Isn't that cool? Love that word. Yeah, if you're going to say it quickly, you have to practice it a lot at home because it doesn't just roll off easily. I have no idea how it's spelled. You're a teacher. That's not fair. Say it. Catastrophize. Catastrophize. Show off. So it took me a while to get it. I remember when Larry laid it on me, I tried to go home and tell Robbie, and I thought, that didn't go well. So I had to go practice it. Catastrophize. So our conversations when we're going to, is that I will assume that it's going to be worse. All the tendencies that were rough on me when I was little are not going to just be the same. They're going to be worse. You know, they would have grown into this hideous monster that's going to consume me when I walk through the front door. That's silly, but that's some. If I don't catch myself, I'll find myself thinking that. So, can you think of other expectations we might have, or ways that expectations or assumptions would play into this? You expect to be judged. Yeah. This is not about me or my sister or our family, but I mean, I am so blessed in that I have an ally when I go back to my extended family. I have a wife who understands recovery, and I have a sister who does. So at least we could sit next to each other on the couch, or we could have an intelligent conversation on the way and on the way home. But not all families. Sometimes when you go back to extended family, you're the only one. Yeah. You're the only one, and it makes it tough. So here's the third thing. I think all of us as humans, especially with our families, we down deep, we would like in some way to figure out a way to fit in. You know, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the fly in the ointment. I don't want to mess things up. I want to fit in some way. I may not love it, but I, you know. So sometimes we'll just resort to the behavior of days gone by. It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm just visiting. It's not like I'm coming to live here. I'm just visiting, so we're going to be here 3 hours. So I'll just fake it for 3 hours. I'll just resort back and play the role I'm expected to play, you know. Yeah, just keep it superficial. And, you know, pragmatically, I guess that works some. It does. I have a hard time with that because we're so big on being authentic here in Pathway. I mean, that's our cornerstone, is being honest. And when I'm forced into a superficial situation, everything inside me rebels. Everything inside me says, I can't do this. And I'm still not sure what you should do there. But, you know, or sometimes we'll run the risk, maybe not with an announcement at the meal table. You know, you got 15 people gathered around. You won't make an announcement, but you want to go out and get a six pack of Coke. Well, let's go. And then on the way, you talk to your brother, or your sister, or somebody and say, can I talk to you about where I'm at in my life? And so you start, at least with one or two people, you start to kind of unpack where you are. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not the person I used to be. So you kind of try to reinvent yourself just a little bit. But there is this natural drive to fit in. I don't know. The older you get, there might even be some times when you show up at your family and somebody is deceased or somebody is absent and you think, well, the role they used to play, I can now play. So you think, I'll fill their role. And you feel a little more comfortable with that. I don't know. That's just an idea. But I think that what we're doing tonight and what we're going to do the next couple Sunday nights is really healthy in that do you see how much we laugh tonight? And it wasn't because we were trying to be funny. It's because we are funny. You know? And at Christmas time, we're unusually funny. And what we've done is we've all done the Ebenezer Scrooge thing where the ghost takes him and makes him look in the window. And he says, look at you, that's you, you know? And so at Pathway, one of the things we do is we don't have ghosts and we don't, you know, but we take time to go and look in the window at ourselves and say, look at us, look at how we are, look at how, and that's looking at yourself instead of just stock sure that the way I feel is right and where I fit in is right and what I believe is right. That's the subjective self-defense, you know. Instead, we're looking at ourselves and look at me there. Look at that I'm doing. Look at the role I'm playing. Look at the feelings I'm expressing. Look at the, and so this there's a virtue to objectivity. There's a beauty to it, and that you look at yourself, and you kind of get a kick out of yourself. And it's interesting when we're talking about going home for Christmas, we laugh at ourselves, because we realize it's jacked up. It's funny. You know? So I think there's a beauty in becoming objective. But I think that we can take it a couple steps further. We're not going to belabor this. We'll just close with these three thoughts. I think that it would do well for us to get objective about the whole thing and begin to form realistic expectations. If you have somebody who is always going to confront you with an uncomfortable question, just know that. I've used this example so many times, but it works for me. Where we used to live on Scott Lane, we had a neighbor that backed up to us, and there was a chain link fence, and they had a German Shepherd. Well, now we have a German Shepherd across the road that does the same thing. But he had a German Shepherd in his backyard, and every time you stepped out in your yard, this is my yard, I'd step out there to work in my garden or mow my lawn, he would bark at me. You could go back in the house and come back out 2 minutes later and he'd bark again. Still the same me. You know, haven't changed. You know, I look the same. I smell the same. I'm, you know, all day long, all night long. It didn't matter. And this went on for days and weeks and months. And it just pissed me off. It just made me so mad. And then I realized this is a dog. This is a dog doing what dogs do. You know, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just a dog that barks at people when they come out their door. And he will always. And he'll do it to my wife. And he'll do it to my grandkids. And he'll do it to the meter reader. And he'll do it. Don't take it personally, dude. See, I was taking it personally. What don't you like about me, Mr. Dog? But really? You know? It's just it was a dog being a dog. And so when you're, and I don't want to call our extended family dogs. Although that may work, but anyway, when you go home to be with your extended family, tell yourself, barking dogs bark. When you get together in an extended family situation, this is what that person is going to do. And you expect them to do that. So when they do it, you don't take it personally. You just realize this is what they do. You know, it's like they can't help themselves. They got this hair trigger. When they hear the door open, it's like, rah, 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 you know. And there's no thought, there's no intent, that's what they do. So I think part of the beauty of objectivity is to be able to form more realistic expectations. And this, really, when you stop and think about this, this doesn't just apply to Christmas time. This applies with lots of relationships that we have and a lot of people that we deal with. Think about that. How many Mondays have you gone back into work and you thought maybe today will be different? You've got the same combination of people. You got the same grumpy boss. You got the same picky secretary, whatever, you know. But today's going to be different. I've been working this job for 5 years, but today's going to be different. Really? You know? What if you go into these situations knowing this is what it's going to be? Barking dogs bark. That's what they do. So the beauty of objectivity gives us an ability to have realistic expectations. This one's a little bit harder, and this is where Pathway really helps. I want to learn to be the living room version of myself when I go home to my mother's house with our extended family. I want to feel comfortable enough in my own skin and know that God loves me enough the way I am and love myself the way I am to not have to become an alternate version of myself with my extended family. Just be who I am. And realize if they don't like that, that's not my responsibility. That's not my job to make them like me. My job is just to be the best, most authentic version of myself I can be. And just do that. That's harder, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? That's tricky. It's easy to stand up here and talk about. Get in your car and head to your extended family and do that when you walk through the front door. That's a little harder. But that's the beauty of objectivity. It enables you to realize, here I am being a fake again. I don't want to do that. Do you know when you're being a fake? I know when I'm being a fake now. And so the beauty of objectivity is it tells me, there you go. You're starting to walk down the fake path again. Back up and go back down the authentic path. Be the authentic version. We've used this example before, and it's become... My name's gotten attached to it, although I'm not the one that first said it. But it's not the same thing as a fart in an elevator. You know, that's being the real version of you. I feel terrible. I feel awful. So I need to relieve myself. So I feel much better. Everybody else in the elevator is miserable. But I feel better. You know. So you don't go home to your extended family and do that. I'm not talking about farting. I'm talking about you don't go home and say, well, I'm just going to be whoever I am. And I don't care who it, you know, there is a certain degree of reasonableness, could you say? Respect. Finesse, that's a good word. Yeah, that's a good word. So there is a balance here. You know, this is not about just emotional release, like I'm just going to go and, you know, the Popeye, I am who I am, and I really don't care who it affects, and blah, blah, blah. There's a balance here. But I really think that we know when we cross the line. I do now. I've started to be fake. I can feel it. I've started to be fake. And that's the line we don't want to cross, I think. Would we agree to that? I mean, if we're going to be authentic, if this is what Pathway is about, I mean, there are only two things in Pathway, two things, that we're authentic and we're loved. That's it. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. So I'm not willing to give up one of our cornerstones just because I'm with my extended family. I want to be who I am. Okay, here's the third one. And this is one that Wayne would remind us of if he was here, and we just keep talking about this over and over. And it's beginning to be in a lot of our conversations all over the place. Do you know what I'm going to say? Some of y'all are already guessing what I'm going to say. When you get with your family, look for what God is doing. Listen to their stories. Listen to how things have been going for the last month or two. Are they going through some rough times? Are they going through some times where they're questioning? Are they going through some times when they're discovering new things about themselves? A time of crisis, a bad medical report, whatever. Listen to their story. And when you start to listen, you start to see what God is doing in their life. Because it's true, God is at work in everybody all the time. I mean, we say this over and over. I believe it. I believe God is at work in everybody all the time. That includes my extended family. Some of us have to set our jaw before we say that. That includes our extended family. But it's true. So when we get together with them, we take time to listen to them and read between the lines and watch body language and, you know, and we begin to recognize this is what God is doing. And when we see what God is doing, what does Wayne always tell us? We participate in it. We watch for what God is doing, and when we see it, we participate in it. I don't know what kind of extended family we'll be with this year. It's always hard to tell. I know one extended gathering, but there may be some others. But the bottom line is I would like to drive home thinking, at least in one or two cases, I saw what God was doing in that other person, and I was able to participate in that. I'm not going to be squeaky clean right. I'm not going to drive home and say, boy, I treated that. I am the champion extended family guy now. I know that's not going to happen. I know that's not going to happen. But I would like to be able to say, at least in a time or two, I actually listened. And I actually saw God at work, and I was able to participate in that. That would be cool. That would be cool. Do you remember what I said last week when I told what I was going to talk about the next 3 weeks? And do you remember what I said we were going to do New Year's Eve? We're going to have a quiz. We're going to have a quiz because we're going to go through these three Sunday nights talking about getting together with extended family. And then New Year's Eve, we're going to have open mic night, and we're going to get up and we're going to share how we did with extended family. And we're going to be honest. If we sucked, we're going to say, I sucked. If we had some little victories, we're going to share our little victories. But I think it's going to be a riot to get together and say, let me tell you about my holiday time with my extended family. And there will be nothing but love and acceptance. Nobody's going to condemn anybody. But it'll be instead of an open book quiz, it'll be an open mic quiz. So anyway, thanks for your help with this. This is awesome. All right. It's all yours, Larry.